If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. The title of my message today is, You Can Get There From Here. You can get there from here. Heard a story about a gospel singing group that was traveling to a particular church to sing. And they had gotten lost. This was before the days of GPS. And so they had their bus, and they stopped and got off. And the one gentleman of the group asked a man for directions. And he said, when the man heard my voice, he turned toward me. He said, I could tell he had been drinking. And I asked him, how do you get to such and such a church? And he said, he thought for a while, he scratched his head and thought a little more. There was a lot of construction and detours going on in the area. Finally, this inebriated man looked at the gospel singer and he said, hey buddy, I don't think you can get there from here. Well, he said, I got back on the bus and the rest of the group, I told them the story and they were laughing because apparently we couldn't get there from here. But he said, we drove on a little ways and we stopped again. And he said, I inquired of a man about the directions to the church. And he said, follow me and I will lead you to the church. He said, in about 3 minutes, they were in the church parking lot unloading their gear. So I guess the moral of that story is, whether or not you can get to where you need to go from where you are depends on whom you ask. But I'm here to tell you, you can get where you need to get from where you are. Now, this passage in Ecclesiastes, there are aspects of it, and you probably heard while I was reading, that are rather pessimistic, that talk about meaningless life, and this is part of a pessimistic view later the author, at the end of the book, will bring full circle and talk about how life is meaningless without God. But in this passage, I believe we have three principles that can help us make the most of our lives. You know, life is precious. Amen? That's a huge understatement. And we live in a culture that devalues life, but life is precious. This time we have on earth is precious. And I believe that God wants us to make the most of it, to make the most of every minute of it. In spite of our trials, in spite of our challenges, in spite of our disappointments, in spite of our struggles, God wants us to make the most of the life we have. Amen? Amen. And so the thing I want to focus on, the question I want to answer is, how do we get there if there is making the most of our lives? How do we get there from here? How do we make the most of our lives? I believe there are three principles revealed here that will help us to make the most of the precious lives that God has given us. The first principle is this: maintain hope. Maintain hope. It says here in verse number 4, anyone who is among the living has hope. I love this. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Now, lion's the king of the jungle, right? They don't get much more fierce than a lion. But a live dog, even a little puppy, you know, the kind you see on Facebook and you go, aww. A live dog is better than a dead king of the jungle. Maintain hope. We have hope in this life. Now, I know that as Christians, I know what some of you are going to say, especially 2 weeks following Resurrection Sunday. Pastor Tim, we have hope beyond this life. We have hope for eternity. And I say a great big amen to that. If we didn't, Paul says, we'd be wasting our time, right? If only we have hope in this life, Paul said, we'd be all men most miserable. Yes, of course we have hope for the life in eternity. But you know what? We also have hope for this life. You know, for a while it became kind of popular to have the kind of hold-on mentality. You know, that how you doing today? Well, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes, praise God. You know? Kind of the, you know, holding on by the skin of your teeth, you know, praying that you can survive this awful, awful life on this awful, awful planet and just hang on till Jesus comes. Well, that sounds like a miserable Christianity to me. How about you? Yes, we have hope for the next life. Yes, we have hope for eternity. But we also, if there's life in us, if there's breath coming out of our lungs, we also have hope for this life. As long as we're alive. And one of the greatest things that derails us in making the most of our lives is losing hope. Giving in to despair. Feeling that it can never be any better than this. Now, we've all felt that, haven't we? Life settles into drudgery. The only thing taking our mind off the current problem is another problem that comes along. You know, it seems like. The only thing that makes me forget about this issue is that a bigger issue seems to come along. And life goes that way sometimes, doesn't it? You know? Things that we have don't break down one at a time, do they? They come in clusters. You can have everything working perfectly for 5 years, and then in 1 week, about 4 or 5 things will break down. How many know that's true? That's called life. That's called our part of the human condition. But we can have hope in this life because even anyone who is among the living has hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's breath today, there's hope. You may be in despair. You may be able to rattle off all the things wrong with your life. But I'm here to tell you there's something right with your life. If you know Jesus Christ in this life, you have hope in this life. One of the greatest, you non-sports fans, forgive me for a moment, okay? Probably the greatest sports moment in my life, not that you care, but I'm going to tell you anyway, was Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, when the New York Mets, who had the best record in baseball, but were losing 3-2, and they were down 2 runs in the bottom of the 10th inning against the Boston Red Sox, who at that time hadn't won a World Series in 86 years. And the first 2 batters got up in the bottom of the 10th for the Mets, made out. They had 1 out to go, down 2 runs. Best record in baseball. They were about to lose the World Series. Matter of fact, they were playing in Shea Stadium, the home of the Mets at that time, and the scoreboard accidentally, before the game ended, briefly flashed, "Congratulations, Red Sox," on the screen. And I'll never forget it. I was a youth pastor at the time. I had taken my youth group to an event all day, And my oldest daughter was a baby. For some reason, my wife was because I was gone all day and she needed help, she was staying with her mom. And I, on the way home from this youth event, I got sick as a dog. I had a bunch of teens with me. I was so sick, suffice to say. And somehow I got home and I got to the house and that game was on and the Red Sox scored 2 runs on top of the inning, Mets made 2 outs. I'm so, okay, well, this is fitting. I'm a rabid Mets fan. I feel like I'm ready to die, so my team might as well lose. Now, I know this isn't life-altering stuff, but it was important to me at the time. Well, the third batter of the inning got up and got a single, got a base hit. Okay, no big deal. Next batter came up, and he got a base hit. Now 2 runners on base. The third batter got up. He fouled off a bunch of pitches. He had 2 strikes on him. Now the Mets were 1 strike away from being eliminated. But he ended up getting a base hit, a run scored. Other runner went to third. And then came up a player named Mookie Wilson. Any sports fan remember Mookie Wilson? If your name's Mookie, people are going to remember you, you know. And he fouled off pitch after pitch, and then there was a wild pitch, the tying run scored. And then fouled off a few more, and then he hit a little ground ball up to first base. If you're a baseball fan, you know the name Bill Buckner. It went through Bill Buckner's legs, the winning run came home, the Mets won. The stadium was delirious. I suddenly felt better. My sickness left. The Mets won, and 2 days later, they came from behind to win Game 7 and won the World Series. He said, why do you tell Pastor Tim, we don't care? I'm here to tell you, as long as the game's still going, there's hope of a win. As long as there's life, there's hope. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I heard another story that perhaps more of you will care about. A school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the city's hospitals. One day, a teacher assigned to the program received a call to visit a particular child. So she took the child's name and room number and was told, we're studying nouns and adverbs in his class, the regular teacher said, so I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind. The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon, and nobody had told her how sick he was. He had been badly burned. He was in great pain. And she was so upset at the sight of this young boy. And she stammered as she told him, I've been sent to help you with nouns and adverbs. And when she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished much at all. But the next day, a nurse asked her, what did you do to that boy? And she thought, oh my goodness, I must have done something wrong. She began to apologize. The nurse said, no, you don't understand. We've been worried about that little boy, but ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live. 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization. He expressed it this way. He said, they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? And he was able to live. Claire Booth Luce said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Hallelujah. This morning, whatever your situation is, I want to encourage you to maintain hope. Put your hope and your trust in the Lord. The scripture says of King David, when he was depressed and he was hiding in a cave with 400 other depressed people, I say the only thing worse than being depressed yourself is being depressed and being responsible for 400 other people who are depressed. But the scripture says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you have the breath of life in you today? Then you can maintain hope. You can be hopeful about the future. You can be hopeful about tomorrow because God is your shield. God is your strength. God is your rock today. Hallelujah. And there is hope found in him today. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone who has the breath of life in them has hope. And we need to seek to maintain that hope by turning to the Lord. What's the second thing we need to do to make the most of our lives? It's to celebrate life. Celebrate life. It says here in verses 7 through 9, we see phrases such as, eat your food with gladness. They don't have to tell me that. I love to eat. Anybody with me? Drink your wine with a joyful heart. Always be clothed in white. Always anoint your head with oil. That was a sign of gladness. Versus ashes was a sign of mourning. Anointing the head with oil is a sign of gladness. Enjoy life with your wife. All these phrases talk about enjoying life, celebrating life. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I could enjoy life if I didn't have this problem, if I didn't have this situation, if I didn't have this person. You know, if I didn't have to deal with this. You see, that's the problem. And I'm not, listen, I'm not minimizing heartache. I'm not minimizing struggle. We all have it. And you know, the worst struggles in the world are yours, right? Because you're experiencing them. I get that. I have my own struggles, okay? We all do. I'm not minimizing that. But we focus, this is not new to you. You've heard me and you've heard other preachers say this. We focus on the negative, we focus on the problems, and we forget all the good things we have in life. Don't we? You know, it's become in vogue lately to refer to funeral services or memorial services as a celebration of life. And I think that's awesome, you know? It's yes, there's grieving, but you're celebrating a person's life. I think that's wonderful. But why do we have to wait till someone dies to celebrate life? Huh? We should celebrate life every day. I'm not saying ignore the problems. I'm not saying they're not there. But I'm saying we have so many good things in our lives. And we neglect to focus on those, and we focus on all the negative things. A minister was addressing a group of men. He took a large piece of paper, and he made a black dot in the center of it with a marking pen, and he held it up before the people. I don't have a black dot on here. I should have put one on. But he held it up, and he asked them, he said, what do you see? One guy said, I see a black dot. I said, okay. Anybody else, what do you see? No response. After a few awkward moments of waiting, he said, you've completely missed the most important thing of all, the sheet of paper. You see the dot. You see the negative. You see the one thing. You zero in on that. But the larger item is the sheet of paper itself. Is, in other words, life itself. The coach of the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh, and his brother, Jim Harbaugh, who is now a coach at the University of Michigan. Jim was for a time coach of the NFL San Francisco 49ers. The two brothers actually faced each other in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Some of you might remember that. So they played sports, they're coaches, and they were raised, their father, Jack Harbaugh, was a coach as well. And one of the pet phrases that he would say to them and have them respond is, while they were growing up, he would say to them, who has it better than us? And their response would be, they'd shout both collectively, nobody! And throughout their years growing up, their dad would frequently say to them, who has it better than us? And they would respond, nobody! I submit to you today, as children of the Most High God, as favored people, as the children of the sovereign creator of the universe, church, I would ask you today, who has it better than us?
Nobody.
I said, who has it better than us today?
Nobody.
Hallelujah. You better believe it's nobody. You better believe it's nobody. Hallelujah. We're children of the living God. Hallelujah. His blessing, His favor rests upon us. Glory to God. The Bible says His anger may last for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Hallelujah. You are the apple of His eye. I say if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
We are children of the living God. And you know, when I get to feeling sorry for myself, and you know, it's easy to tick off all our problems, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, they're on the tip of our tongue. What are your issues today? Well, I'll tell you, I got this. And... But you know what's a better exercise? And what'll if you think for a few minutes, it'll actually take you a whole lot longer, is tick off all the blessings you have in life. All the good things. I'm not talking about being Pollyannish. I'm not talking about denying reality. I'm talking about focusing on a greater reality.
Amen.
That as children of God, we have more going for us than we have going against us. Matter of fact, the Word of God says, if God be for us, what's the rest of that? Who can be against us? Hallelujah. So in the midst of dealing with issues and problems and circumstances, I want to challenge you. If you want to make the most of your life, celebrate life. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. The Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. To make the most of our lives, we need to maintain hope. We need to celebrate life. What's the third thing we need to do? It's this: seize opportunities. Seize opportunities. Verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do it with all your might. I don't know how people calculate these things, but I came across some numbers that I thought were interesting. They tell me that an average person living 70 years spends 23 years sleeping. Did you know that? Some of you, maybe it's 33, but I don't know. 16 years working, 8 years watching TV, 6 years eating. I know that's low. Pastor Tim, speak for yourself. 4 years being sick, 2 years getting dressed, but only about half a year practicing their religion. Opportunities. There are two types of opportunities in life: seized and missed. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. What kind of opportunities have been part of your life? I've said this before. I shudder to think about missed opportunities in my life. Opportunities to share Christ with someone. Opportunities to perform an act of kindness for someone who's hurting. Opportunities to reach out. Opportunities to develop. Opportunities to grow. Opportunities to become more like Christ. Are there opportunities for you to get involved in ministry? Even during a worldwide pandemic, there's opportunity for ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Opportunities. Opportunities. Opportunities to receive something from God. Do you know, I may be simple, but it just stands to reason. The more time we spend in God's presence, the more we are liable to receive from God.
Amen.
Does that make... I know that's simple. How many know God doesn't waste our time? Time with God is never wasted. I'll say it another way. So, the conclusion is, the more time we spend in God's presence, the more time we get alone with Him, the more time we seek Him, the more time we pour out our heart to Him and then listen for Him to speak to us, we receive from Him. I wonder how many opportunities to receive from God we let pass by. Opportunities. I believe every believer from time to time needs to pray this prayer: Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities around me. That waiter or waitress this afternoon who maybe messes up your order a little bit, Maybe doesn't get things right. Maybe, just maybe, that he or she is a person who's hurting. And instead of getting angry and berating them because they got your order wrong, maybe you can speak words of love to them. Ask them if you can pray for them. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about praying top of your lungs so the whole restaurant hears you. Make it a spectacle yourself. I'm not talking about that. But you can casually and lovingly reach out. Opportunities. As a matter of fact, we talked about problems. A lot of times, problems are great opportunities to see God work. Yes. Hallelujah. Go back to Peter getting a job. His response, he's been looking for a job for a long time. How long have you been looking for a job, Peter? Yeah, several months. And his response, I told you, his email subject line was, God has done it. Not, oh, finally, I can't believe I found it. Better late than never. No, God has done it. See, a problem becomes an opportunity. What opportunities are there in your life? Who can you reach out to? Who can you impact? What ministry can you get involved in? What ministry can you start? Who, me? Yes, you. Opportunities. Opportunities. How many have ever seen Ziggy cartoons? Remember Ziggy? There's a cartoon that shows Ziggy standing looking at a note on his front door while holding a bag of groceries. The note reads, "Opportunity knocked while you were out." Missed opportunities. Sometimes that happens. Let's make a dedication to Almighty God, a fresh new dedication. Say, Lord, I want to take advantage of every opportunity in my life. Amen. You know, we talk about making our lives count, leaving our mark, making a difference. We have all these cliches, but how do we make a mark? How do we make our life count? How do we make a difference? We seize every opportunity. Not only do we seize them, we look for them. We seek for them. Opportunities. In conclusion this morning, you may say, Pastor Tim, boy, that sounds like a great life, but I am so far away from that. I have good news today. You can get there from here. Yeah, but Pastor Tim, you don't know the issue. You don't know how I'm handicapped or how I'm saddled down with this hindrance, and you don't know the mistakes. Oh, Pastor Tim, I've made so many mistakes, and I've sinned, and I've fallen short. And you don't know where I am. Doesn't matter where you are. Wherever here is, you can get there. Come on, church. Either we believe that, or I'm in the wrong business this morning. I believe wherever here is, and wherever there is, you can get there from here. Hallelujah. How do we do that? First, maintain hope. Maintain hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. Yes, there's hope for eternity, but there's hope for this life as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second, celebrate life. Celebrate the good things in your life. Be thankful for them. Focus on them. Write them down if you have to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, problems are there. Problems will always be there. But what a great thing to celebrate life, to celebrate the blessings of God, celebrate the good things in life, hallelujah, to focus and dwell on them. We are a blessed people today, amen? Amen. Thirdly, seize opportunities. Look for opportunities to make a difference, to be used of God. Can I tell you something? There is nothing, absolutely nothing on the planet more fulfilling than being used of God to change someone's eternal destiny. Nothing. Not all the wealth, not all the position, not all the personal accomplishments, nothing compares to being used of God, even in a small way, to change the eternal destiny of a human soul. If we seize opportunities. Hallelujah. Church, wherever you are, you can get there from here.